And as we think and reflect today on both James's baptism and your baptism, Lord, we pray that you'd reveal your truth and your wisdom and your love through this Bible story. We ask in your name. Amen. So at the moment, we're doing a whole series on God's faithfulness. We're thinking about particularly the way in which God's faithfulness is shown as we see it in the way in which Jesus lives his life and speaks and teaches people. Now, don't know about you because you were watching, but getting into a freezing cold paddling pool of water does not really feel like very faithfulness at work. And yet there is something really important about not just the physical thing that we do in baptism, but the spiritual thing that we do in baptism. And that's really where God's faithfulness lies, not in the freezing cold, oh my goodness, it's April and my feet and toes feel like ice cubes. Baptism was a very particular religious ritual for the Jewish people. I don't know if you knew that. They did baptism. It wasn't called baptism in quite the way that we use it as baptism, but it was a Jewish ritual that they used to do when they'd done something particularly wrong, or when they'd been ill, or when there'd been something in their life that hadn't been what the thank you for the coffee, awesome. When something had kind of gone wrong, when there was something that they really needed to say sorry to God for, Jewish people would go to a special religious place with a bath, and they would sit in it and wash in it and say particular prayers. And so this concept of physically washing yourself as a symbolic physical action, a gesture that said something about your repentance, was historic. It was important and recognized by the Jewish people. And so what John was doing was not completely unusual. It wasn't it wasn't completely off the charts. What John was doing was calling people out into the desert to do something really significant. He was calling them to leave their lives of selfishness, of other things behind, and to do this thing that was an act, not just of a repeated thing that you did at the end of something small, which was what had been the tradition in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish faith, in the Jewish practice, but to do something really significant that would be a massive gesture, a recognition that something was wrong, and that they needed God's forgiveness. And so baptism is particularly about this need for forgiveness. And for the Jewish people, they did that. They came out of Jerusalem, of Judea and other things, because they heard in John's message a call from God himself. John was saying, repent, be baptized. God is sending somebody who's going to come and who's going to make everything that we see now, everything that's upside down in our lives, God is sending somebody who's going to turn it the right way up again. And you need to be ready for him. You need to be ready for the one whom God is going to send. And the way to do that is to say sorry. Is to repent. Repent's a bit of a scary word, a heavy word. It tends to have associations with somebody with a megaphone and a sandwich board and kind of like telling you, you know, really awful things. But that's not how it was originally. It was an invitation to recognize that something was wrong and we needed to get it sorted with God. We needed to get it right with God. And so John the Baptist is calling people, and hundreds of people flock to him. They left their homes, they left their lives, they left and whatever it was that they were doing, and they went out to the desert, to the River Jordan. One side of it is, I mean, it's a river, so of course nearby it is kind of green and lush. But John himself was living in the desert. He baptized there, but then he would go into the desert and he would teach, because he was there to avoid all the temptations, all the distractions, everything of the world that would take his focus away from God. We talked a little bit last week about that temptation that Jesus faced and how initially John says to Jesus, I can't baptize you. John knows who Jesus is. He says, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals. Why would you come and ask me to baptize you for forgiveness? You're perfect. You are God's Holy One. You've lived a righteous life. You don't need to say sorry to God. But Jesus chooses, and this is initially where we see God's faithfulness at work. Jesus chooses to identify again with humanity. He says, let it be so. It's right, it's good for me to identify with humanity. I come now and I am baptized, not because I need forgiveness, but because humanity needs forgiveness. And so John baptizes him. For us today, we still need that same forgiveness. There is a hunger, as there was for the Jewish people, a hunger because we know that we make mistakes. We know that we get things wrong. We look at the world and see what a terrible state it's in. We know that things are still not fully put the right way up. We know that we need forgiveness. We know that humanity still needs forgiveness. What Jesus did was an act of God's faithfulness in identifying with humanity, but also in doing something very significant later on afterwards. We know that the baptism of John was about saying sorry and putting yourself right with God. But that could only be completed by the way in which Jesus goes on to die on the cross. When he dies that fully human death, he takes all of the wrong, all of the mistakes, all of the deliberate actions, all of the things that are upside down in the world, and he takes them on himself. He allows himself to be nailed to the cross. Our hunger for forgiveness is satisfied by Jesus dying on the cross in order that all of our mistakes, all of our deliberate wrongs can be put on him instead of us. And as we declare with James that our faith is in Jesus, in that moment, God is able to do something in us. The water that we dipped James into this morning was freezing. The water was a symbolic act of what God has already done in James. The water that we use when we shower, when we bath, hopefully most of us, when we do these things that washes us physically clean, is also not just symbolic, but we believe something spiritual happens in that moment. We believe that as James has declared his faith in Jesus, that there is a bigger, greater, more powerful work of forgiveness at work in him through the death of Jesus, because he has declared and given himself to baptism today. Baptism is both a physical act and a spiritual one. What happened in Jesus' baptism then also, we believe, happens for us in our baptism. We have a need for the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit on him. He was fully human. He couldn't go on and do all the things that he was going to do to fulfill God's faithfulness to the world without the Holy Spirit. And so as he comes up out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven like a dove and remains on Jesus. The rest of his life, the rest of his ministry, he is operating through the power of the Holy Spirit. He received anointing for the new life that he was about to step into. This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He hasn't actually done very much yet, other than live a faithful, obedient, righteous life in the ordinary way. He cannot begin his ministry except by the power of the Holy Spirit. What also happens in that moment is that the heavens open and the voice of our Heavenly Father speaks over Jesus. Words of affirmation and of truth. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. God is not Cockney, but he sounds like it in this particular bit. Jesus has not yet done anything, and yet God is able to say, with you, I am well pleased. Jesus needs this affirmation. He needs the Holy Spirit through whom he is able to do all the things that he does. He does things in the strength of the Holy Spirit, not his own human strength. He is God, but he is fully human. He's accepted all the limitations of humanity in order to show God's faithfulness by identifying with humanity. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he can go on to do incredible things, which we know he does through the rest of the Gospels. The same is true for us. God's words of affirmation, which Jesus needed to know who he was and that God was pleased with him. James, today, we didn't hear a voice. Did you? Anyone hear voices? No? But James, I want you to know that God speaks over you and says, James, you are my child. I love you. And with you, I'm really pleased. Well pleased. God delights in you. He delights in you now, before you've even really begun. I mean, you have begun, haven't you? You've begun to live wanting him to be in your life. But God delights in you. He loves you. And he affirms all that he has purpose for you, just as Paul prayed. All of that, I'm so excited to see that unfolding. It's a privilege to be able to walk that journey with you. But those words of affirmation are for you today as well. And they're for all of us. There are so many things God has called each one of us to do with our lives. We can't do those things unless we also are filled with the Holy Spirit and know the affirmation of our loving Heavenly Father who speaks over us. We sang this morning, God loves every single one of us. That is a spiritual truth that we are reminded of whenever somebody is baptized. We ourselves, who have been baptized, receive those truths for us too. God delights over us, his children. He chooses to point us in the direction that he wants us to go in so that we may do the good works he has prepared for us to do. We do them in the strength of the Holy Spirit and with the words of affirmation that come from our Heavenly Father to guide and affirm us as we step into them. God writes these words on our hearts. We need to keep reading them. And so I want to encourage you to think again about the words that God has said over you. Reflect on either your own baptism or other baptisms that you've seen where you've known that God is doing something powerful. We also need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to keep asking him to remain with us, to give us the strength to do the good works God has prepared for each of us. Because of Jesus, because of God's faithfulness in Jesus, there is nothing that can hold us back. I want to say that again. I want you to hear it. There is nothing that can hold us back from doing the good things that God has prepared for us to do. Let's not allow fear of embarrassment, questions or doubts, frustrations or health issues, or hopes and dreams and disappointments. Let nothing get in the way of hearing God's voice speaking his affirming truth over us and our lives. As we hear what he is saying, we also will be filled with hope and peace. God's faithfulness in Jesus' baptism reminds us that we need forgiveness regularly. We need to keep asking him to forgive us. We need to keep saying sorry to one another because we will still make mistakes and because our world is still a mess. But ultimately, there is something spiritual which has already happened. And we believe and trust in Jesus' death and resurrection that we are, over everything, forgiven. We are a forgiven people. God's faithfulness in Jesus' baptism also reminds us that God speaks words of love, affirmation, hope, and purpose over each one of us. God's faithfulness in Jesus' baptism should encourage us to live under his words of truth about who we are by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we too will find that our lives are changed by God. And as we are changed, the world around us will be changed by the impact of God in our lives through us to bring his love to the rest of the world too. Let's believe in God's faithfulness. Let's see the power of God at work through baptism in James, but in each one of us. And let's live by the power of the Spirit to serve and bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Amen.